Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin our inspiration article. In the studio, I have two panelists with me. Welcome first, Lois.
Hi, it's good to be here, Brandon. I like the topic we're going to be talking about today, and it's always good to connect with our listeners.
That's right, and welcome, Albert.
Hi, everyone, and I'm really liking the trend we're doing. We talked about fathers in July, August, and now September.
All right, and it's good to talk about fathers. It's good to talk about mothers, and there's so many different topics that we can discuss, of course, in Advanced Magazine, and we take the opportunity to do that. Today, yes, as Albert said, we are talking about fathers, and it's not necessarily just about fathers, but men in general, and coming together and helping each other out, but definitely fatherhood is part of it, and that is in our title. What is our title, Lois?
It is United Through Fatherhood, When Men Are Pushed to a Higher Calling and Brotherhood.
Okay, so we have, it's kind of mixed in
there. Oh, I see. Yeah, it's mixed in there. I made a mistake for our readers.
United through fatherhood and brotherhood. And then our deck says when men are pushed to a higher calling. But I'm kind of glad Lois read it that way because it's a little tricky. It's an artistic style here that we have. And so the title is actually United Through Fatherhood and Brotherhood. We all know what fatherhood is, basically, of course, being a father. What is brotherhood?
Well, brotherhood is something that, you know, like when one guy is connected to another guy, but it doesn't have to be through blood. It could just be a bond. You know, It's like a group of support.
Yes, sometimes you may have a very close friend who is like a brother to you or like a sister to you.
Right, right. I know with my somebody in my family, they have about three or four guys that are really close to him, and the five of them together really do seem like a brotherhood.
And that's very important to have that community, people you can talk to about your struggles, and that's really what this article is all about, having that community where you can go and work things out and get help that you may need, and just to share what's going on in your life. So we also see here when men are pushed to a higher calling. It's good to have a higher calling, but what is a higher calling, Albert?
Well, it's one of our specialized terms, and a higher calling is the act of serving or living for a greater cause, sometimes in the service of God. So, you know, these guys, they're being pushed to a higher cause.
Okay, and so sometimes we wonder, what is my purpose in life? What am I doing here on earth? And there is a higher calling, and we need to know what that is for us as individuals.
Exactly, and your higher calling might not be your job. Some people think of it that way a lot now, but it might actually be something you're involved in when you're not at your work, or it's not within work hours.
Absolutely.
And it's very fulfilling, and you do feel like it's a call.
Right. Usually it's something beyond you. You know, it's like not just involving you, but something other for others.
That's right. Well, so that's what we are discussing here today. If you have your magazine, please open it to page 34. Or if you have your electronic device, you can follow along there as well. Right now we will have our first reading for today.
United Through Fatherhood and Brotherhood. When men are pushed to a higher calling. Will Hughes had a history of substance abuse and incarceration when he walked in the red door of the office on Rainier Avenue South. He'd heard folks there could help him get visitation with his children. Zachary Fike was broke, busted, and living in a trailer when he sought out the South Seattle nonprofit for help with a parenting plan for his then 3 and 5 year old boys. John Hamer, who'd previously worked for a newspaper and run the Washington News Council, was looking for a place to share his communication skills when he heard the founders of Divine Alternatives for Dad Services, or DADS, speak at an annual banquet. All three found what they were looking for at the non-denominational, faith-based agency. But, to their surprise, they also found some things they had not been looking for: healing, forgiveness, love, and a community that transcends age, race, class, and even political leanings. Each Wednesday morning and Thursday evening, a group of 25 to 50 men from ages 17 to 90 attend the support group, where they talk about their lives, their struggles, their efforts to know God and be better men.
So here at the beginning, we meet three different men, and we get some information about them. First, we meet Will Hughes, and we learn here that he had a history of substance abuse. Now, first of all, when you have a history of something, when we're talking about in terms of drugs, for example, that means it's something that you had frequently in the past. You dealt with that in your past. But what is meant by substance abuse, Albert?
Well, substance abuse is the overuse of and often addiction to a substance, especially a drug or alcohol. So it's like to the point where, you know, it's like you're abusing it.
Okay, so you have an addiction to drugs. Or maybe alcohol. And so that's what Will Hughes was dealing with.
I want to say it's like a umbrella term for like a legal way to say it, you know, like a very formal way of saying a drug addiction.
Okay. And then we find out that he was also in prison, right, Lois?
Right. He was in incarceration, which is actually our first vocabulary term or focus on page 35. And we often think of, because of the news, incarceration, the person must be in prison or locked up or whatever, right?
Yeah, and so he was arrested, apparently, and then he's out now, and he walked in the red door of the office. Now, why is it so descriptive, so specific here, do you think, Albert?
I feel like the author just wanted to, you know, really give us a nice imagery of how the office is. And probably, you know, red doors are not something that's common. So, it stands out. And I feel like, you know, the people who own this building probably, you know, it's on purpose, it's by design. So, yeah, it's a red door. I think it's just a common door, but just mainly just context.
Okay, and then it's at Rainier Avenue South. That's where the office is. And this is in Seattle, Washington, just in case you're wondering. And what did he hear there?
He heard folks there could help him get visitation with his children.
Right, so he didn't hear anything, but he heard about this from other people, and that it could help him get visitation with his children. Now, visitation here, we know if you visit someone, we know what that is, but this is more of a kind of technical term in the sense of, or specific term, when two people get divorced, when a man and woman gets a divorce, the parents are able to spend time with the children at a specific time. And, for example, the kids don't live with their father anymore, but they can still see the children, maybe on an appointed weekend, and this is all set up with lawyers and all of that.
Yeah, it becomes very formal, actually. You might have visitation rights that include a whole weekend, but you actually might have visitation rights where there has to be someone else present who is not connected to the husband or wife.
Right, so it just depends on the terms that you agreed upon or that the judges or lawyers put in place.
Right, and another popular usage of visitation is like an official visit or inspection or the appearance of a divine or supernatural being.
Okay, so there are lots of visitations. And so, anyway, this one in particular is talking about when a couple is divorced. And so he is able to see his children, and he wants to get help with this. And so he's going here to this place in Seattle to get some help. And then next we meet someone else, Albert. Who is that?
It's Zachary Fike. And here we have it in quotes, like, he's broke, busted, and living in a trailer. Now, broke and busted is, can be used informally, like slang, and here it means like broke is like, you know, you don't have any money, and busted sometimes means the same thing, like you're out of money, but here, because, you know, we have broke ahead of it, it means just tired and just, you know, they're just exhausted.
Worn down, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was living in a trailer, and so that's also known as a mobile home, and not usually, it's an inexpensive home to live in. So he sought out this place there in South Seattle. We'll learn the name later. It's called Divine Alternatives for Dad's Services. But he sought them out for help with a parenting plan for his then 3 and 5 year old boys. And so they're all, Lois, look like they're going to this place for maybe a little bit different reasons, but they all need help.
Right. They need assistance and it seems like a good idea that he's heard about this.
That's right. And so I'm sure lots of parents maybe could use some help with parenting, right? But some people can go to friends, their parents. But maybe everyone doesn't have that opportunity. So it's great that there are these organizations to help out to kind of fill that void.
Right, and sometimes maybe, you know, people want to keep things a little bit separate. You know, some of them are like a little too personal. And, you know, it's really good to have these organizations, like you said.
Mm-hmm. So we went there for that, and then we meet someone else. Who is
then
that?
Then we meet John Hamer, who'd previously worked for a newspaper and run the Washington News Council. And he was looking for something different, obviously.
Right. He wanted to go to a place where he could share his communication skills. So he wanted to contribute. He wanted to help. And it's beautiful to see this, people going for help and also people going there that want to help. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what life should be like. At times we need help. We ask people for help. And other times we need to give help as well. And by the way, the Washington News Council is an independent nonprofit organization. And they actually are trying to hold the news media publicly accountable for their performance, just in case you were wondering what that is. And so that's who Mr. Hamer, he worked for that council or was on that council. And so he's going to this organization to share his communication skills. And he heard the founders of Divine Alternatives for Dad's Service speak at an annual banquet. And so that's how he found out about them.
Right, and a banquet is just it's a French word, actually. It's a large meal or feast complete with main courses and desserts. You know, usually when you go to a wedding, they have a banquet.
Making me hungry.
Yeah.
All right, so he went to this banquet, and he heard about DADS. That's what it's known by, that name. It stands for Divine Alternatives for Dad's Services. Let's talk about that name for a moment. First of all, that word divine.
Oh, well, divine, I instantly think of God.
Okay.
So it's something to do with someone's going to take care of us, I would think. Divine alternatives, and somebody has thought that, you know, these people have kind of fallen through the cracks and they need something special.
Yeah, when we think of the alternative, we need an alternative. We need other choices. And maybe there are, you know, many people out there giving us suggestions and answers, but this is another alternative that is connected with God. I think that, Lois, that's correct. That word divine is referencing God, that they will go there and they will share their problems, but ultimately God is the one who will help them.
Right. This is a very beautiful acronym. You know, it's divine alternatives, like supernatural choices or other services for people.
All right. For dads who are in need of help. Okay. So, all three of these guys, they found what they were looking for at the non-denominational faith-based agency. So here we're getting more details about the agency. First, non-denominational.
Right. Non-denominational means that not connected with a particular religious denomination. So, for instance, it's not necessarily run by the Baptist or the Presbyterian or the Lutheran or whatever.
So, right. And the Christian faith, there are different denominations within the Protestant churches. And so there's a lot of different words here, but here it's really just talking about it's not connected to maybe any one church. So when you see non-denominational, it's not a word we use very often. It's a word we use when we're referencing churches. So it's probably not something you'll use in everyday language necessarily, but that is the connotation here.
Right. I feel like this is a surprise for people when they learn that within the Christian community, there's like differences. And usually, like, you know, when you ask somebody, a fellow Christian, like, oh, yeah, I heard that you went to a new church. They'll ask the follow-up questions like, which denomination is it?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, they're all worshiping God, but they have different ways of doing things and different thoughts. Okay. And so it's a faith-based agency, meaning that it's an organization that is centered around, you know, focused on some religious belief.
Well, and I just wanted to add, you know, when they said they were speaking at an annual banquet, you get those dads there because there's good food and, and you're sharing in the good food and bringing out the food usually brings out sharing in the good talk as well.
That's right. So. That's really true. Yes. Of course, when there's food, there's usually fellowship and fun and it livens things up in a sense, and it gets people to talking, so that's always a good thing. But there was a big surprise for them. I think they found more than they expected, Albert.
Right, you know, going into it, didn't expect they would find healing, forgiveness, love, and a community that transcends age, race, class, and even political leanings. And we have this word transcends. It means to go further, go beyond, rise above, and be more important than something. And, you know, I really like how, you know, it goes beyond even political leanings. When you have a leaning towards something, it's like a tendency to prefer or agree with a particular set of beliefs. So, yeah, it goes beyond that.
Okay, so they went in with their questions, and they got help with those things. You know, they wanted help with parenting, and they wanted help with getting visitation with the children and so forth. But they got much more than that. Things that are actually maybe even more important, right, Lois? I mean, all of us have issues in our lives, I think, where we could use some healing, right, in our hearts. And so they found some of these things there.
Right, and I thought that what was interesting, too, was when they were meeting, like they were meeting each Wednesday morning and Thursday evening, and it was a group of, you know, 25 to 50 people. I thought it would be more like 15, 20 people sort of thing. And the age of the group, 17 to 90-year-olds attending. So this really truly is a support group. You have people looking after the younger who are in the older age group.
Right, which is really helpful. You can learn a lot from older people. Of course, they have more experiences and hopefully more wisdom, and they can share with
exactly.
The
and that's what they're telling us. They're telling us where they talk about their lives, their struggles, their efforts to know God and be better men.
And that's the beauty of a support group. You can go and share whatever's going on in your life. Transparency is key. In this kind of situation, transparency meaning you need to be very open and share what's on your heart. And so they're able to do that here, to talk about their lives and their struggles and even their efforts to know God and be a better man. And so these are all very important things for the healing process and getting forgiveness and learning how to love people. And that word community is very important, and that's really what this is. And I think, you know, maybe some of you, some of us, we need this as well. I think we all need community to some degree or the other so we can help each other, right?
Exactly. And I think a lot of us would say right now in this time in the world, we have a sense of not being so much a community, and we miss that. And I think people are actually desiring that. And I can see this meeting the needs of these men.
Well, panelists, how have you benefited from a community? I mean, maybe you've been in different types of communities, or maybe even a club. That's quite different from this, but my point is we still need people in our lives, of course. What are some of the benefits of being in a tight-knit community?
Right. I feel like, you know, sometimes people feel like, oh, you should only join a community when you need help, right? But sometimes I feel like it would be really refreshing, surprising to you. When you join a community, you will find that you have so much more to offer. And in the process, you're able to learn a lot about yourself and maybe even learn a lot about something that you're already knowledgeable in. Because, you know, when you're teaching, it gives you a different perspective. So, you know, I feel like communities in like each perspective is really important for people to participate in.
Lois, how about you? What's your experience with community?
Well, I was in what I consider a community when we lived in the Vancouver area in British Columbia, Canada, in that we were part of this care group that was in our church, but it truly was a care group. We didn't just come together to discuss things that we had in common, or it was like a study group too, to study the Bible, but we actually cared about the people in our group. So if someone was in need, we were there to assist them or help them, whether it be sickness or somebody out of work, or maybe you needed somebody to run around your kids because you were going to have to go help your elderly parents or whatever. So it really did feel like this wonderful community that cared for each other.
Yeah, and sometimes just listening to people is helpful, right, in these kinds of groups. And also, for you, sharing with someone else, because a lot of times, especially as men in general, not every man maybe, but we keep things bottled up. And so it's good to have a group where we know the purpose and we're there to share. And it may be awkward at first, but I think it's very important for us to do that.
Yeah, and you know what? Your wives or girlfriends appreciate seeing you have really good connected male friendships.
Yeah, even if you just have one or two, that's better than none. So
right.
You don't think you have to have 10 or 20, whatever, but just start with one and really open up so you can, you know, receive help in any way and you can help the other person as well. Well, speaking of help, this organization is helping people free of charge. Let's find out more about that in our next reading.
Helping people free of charge. We didn't set out to do a big thing, said Marvin Charles, 61, who started the organization with his wife, Jeanette Charles, 50, almost two decades ago after they got clean and sober and figured out, by themselves mostly, how to meet the court's legal requirements and reclaim their children from Child Protective Services, CPS. Their organization, which runs on donations and does not charge clients, is predicated on the idea that fathers are important and their children do better with them in their lives.
Okay, so now we meet Marvin Charles, who is 61. He started the organization with his wife. And what does he say here at the beginning, Albert?
He said, you know, I feel like big things always have a small beginning, right? A humble beginning. And like here, it's like, oh, we didn't set out to do a big thing. But, you know, two decades later, you know, everything just became this really good and great organization.
Okay, so they didn't set out to do a big thing. That's kind of encouraging to me because sometimes we think, oh, we need to do something huge. But they had this idea and they started with it and it just grew. And I think that's important to know that we don't always have to have this huge idea necessary at the beginning. We can start with something small and it can grow from there.
Right. And we can figure out when they say about two decades, they were 41 and 30 when they got started doing this. So, you know, they're fairly young, especially his wife, Jeanette. And to have this kind of idea or to really want to fulfill something that will help others.
And we learn here maybe why they had this idea. They had problems in the past as well, didn't they, Lois?
They certainly did. It said after they themselves got clean and sober and figured out by themselves mostly how to meet the court's legal requirements and reclaim their children from Child Protective Services, or as it's often referred to, CPS.
Okay, so they got clean. That means they were free from drug addiction. That's what that is referring to. If someone says, I'm clean, in this kind of context, they're saying they are free from drugs. And then sober, of course, they don't have drinking problems anymore. They're not getting drunk and so forth. And so they dealt with these issues, and so oftentimes this is the way it works. The issues that we have problems with, we are better able to help people going through those same issues, but we have to get help first before
right.
we can help others.
We often refer to that, they'll have empathy because
yes.
they've been through it themselves.
That's right. And then they also have experience with getting their children from Child Protective Services, also known as CPS. What is that organization?
Right, so CPS, what it does is it's like police and protection services.
It's a governmental agency, right?
Right, for looking out for children who are being mistreated mm-hmm. or abused.
Right.
Usually, you know, it's like through teachers or neighbors or other adults will notice like, hey, these parents are being negligent mm-hmm. or, you know, just wrong.
Or abusing the kids.
Right. And what they'll do is investigate it. And then, you know, through the courts, they will take the children and separate them from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not ideal, but it's, you know, creating a safer environment right. for the children.
So they were able to get their children back
mm.
and they learned how to do that. And so, of course, other people, dads coming in who are in this situation, they can probably help them to some extent at least through that situation. Now, the organization Dads, it actually runs on donations, and they don't charge clients, Lois. Isn't that great?
It's incredible. So these would no doubt be tax. You could get a refund or a certain amount of refund. You can claim them.
Because it's a nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit, right? And it's wonderful that they can actually do it free of charge, and that people aren't, no matter what their financial situation is, they can be a part of this.
Right.
Yeah.
And what is the big idea here? It says their organization is predicated on the idea. Now, if something is predicated on something, it depends on a belief. Okay, so what is the big idea? What is kind of the foundation of this organization? What are they trying to do?
Well, they're trying to keep fathers who are important in their children's lives, you know, to they believe in the idea that, you know, fathers being present and there for their children make a better, you know, for childhood.
Yeah. Okay. So children do better with fathers in their lives. And now I don't have any kids. Albert doesn't have any kids. But Lois, you do. You're not a father, of course, but you're a mother.
Right.
So can you give us some insight about this?
Well, I certainly can, because I have seen what it's done for my own kids to have their dad. And we have a son and a daughter. So you see the interaction with my husband with his son and my husband with the daughter. And it's totally beneficial.
Sure. We need both mothers and fathers. And that's not always the case, and that's not always possible. But, you know, it's ideal, right? And so we hope that, you know, we see the benefits of that. Well, we have much more to talk about concerning this month's inspiration article. We hope you will come back tomorrow for day two of our inspiration article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.